Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hello, it's me, Thomas Enders. Have you listened to my new podcast yet? Modern Talking, Just Different. Now everywhere where you find your podcasts. And it's really true. You won't get closer to me anywhere else recorded in my living room. I'm looking forward to meeting you now in your favorite podcast app, Modern Talking, Just Different. We have a date.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Peacock Streaming, the biggest live events from Super Bowl 56 to complete coverage of the Winter Olympics. It's all the unbelievable sports to love. Sign up now at PeacockTV.com.
Good morning and welcome to a celebratory Arsenal Opinion podcast. I am here with Ash.
Hello, mate.
And we're here to talk about a beautiful, beautiful thing.
What a Sunday.
North London Derby victory. Oh. But not just victory like where Spurs have played badly, but a victory where everything that we've wanted for the last 10 years comes to fruition. In one magical afternoon. One of the best North London derbies I've seen in a long time.
100%. I think just the passion. You could feel it watching it on TV from the crowd and everything else. But when the players came on and the way they looked up for it, I was going back years. It was felt, oh, you know, goosebumps and pimples. And I don't know. I've not seen one like that in a long time. You're right.
Crowd was venomous.
Yeah. We beat them in the home leg. In the home game last season, mm-hmm. pretty comprehensively, but it was just a good performance, and they were just didn't show up. This felt very, very different.
Yeah,
I just think the venom, the atmosphere, the angst between the players, it just felt like something else. And
it was a brawl where, and it's not often a brawl, and we're in it. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, normally it's weak Arsenal. Like the fight out of it. Well, we wanted it more. We were the
100%. When was the last time? I know Harry Kane's had a dip in form, but barely. I don't even remember his name being said by a commentator.
No, completely anonymous. And like put that victory against the backdrop of what Spurs did last week. They
in two games, by the way. We thought they wouldn't win against Milan.
Yeah,
and they did. And they're alive in that competition. Okay, sure, they're probably a bit knackered, but
and they dominated Chelsea.
I mean,
tactically.
That, and that didn't look like a hard win, by the way. That looked like they were coasting in that win.
Yeah.
And Chelsea went up for it. So, I know it feels everyone's going over the top saying this is it, Emery's got it nailed and whatever. And I do agree with a lot of that. But let's just bask in the glory of this. We all said this was a test. We didn't want to lose, is what we said last week. It's like, Not only did we look like we were never going to lose, even though we were losing at one point, we just looked like we owned the place. I mean, it felt like a punishment beating. I mean, they must feel terrible after that.
If we were in here talking about a 4-2 loss, we'd be saying Emery finally got found out.
Yeah, 100%. They would 100%.
Be like, we're not good enough. We can't compete this year. Conceding 4 goals is humiliating, especially for a team that's got title aspirations.
Yeah. And look, we gifted them 1 goal. Look, every keeper makes mistakes, so it's a shame it happened in the North London derby. But how they reacted after that, especially conceding the second one very quickly, wasn't a pen. Just was not a penalty in the slightest.
No. He had every right to go down is the biggest line, the biggest bullshit line in football.
But like, the other thing is he's going away from goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So he's clearly looking for it.
Do you think if they had VAR?
I think that would have been reversed.
You think that would have been reversed?
VAR is supposed to go in the defender's benefit, right, I think? Who knows?
Isn't it supposed to be meaningful contact?
Yes, that is correct. And Dean wasn't in a bad position, and at full speed, it does look like it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can get that. So I'm not blaming Mike Dean here. I'm definitely blaming Tottenham. Yeah, I'm blaming Tottenham for everything in the world.
But it almost...
For Brexit, it almost for makes, Trump,
yeah,
everything.
Everything that is wrong in the world. But it almost makes the victory slightly sweeter because
it does.
We're not victims.
No, we're not. And I love the way how the crowd got after Son, because he was pretty quiet after that, actually.
Yeah.
And the last time I remember that happening so, so deeply affecting an individual player's game was at Highbury when I think we destroyed Everton. I think we scored 7. Pascal Segan scored 3 or 2. 2. The whole crowd got after Phil Neville. I think it was Phil Neville's first time playing in an Everton shirt, and the crowd just got after him for no particular reason. Then it was Phil Neville, which is actually really good fun.
Fair.
But every pass he played that night was terrible. But I really think the crowd had an effect on Son's performance. You could see the camera following him down the tunnel and the vitriol, not horrible abuse, but the boos and the people staying in their seats and going after him every time he touched the ball. He was also booed off the park at the end, you know, when he was substituted. So I think everybody played their part on Sunday. I thought it was a fantastic atmosphere. I think, obviously, the gentleman who let off the red smoke flares probably shouldn't have set those off.
I liked it, though. Didn't you?
It felt like we were like, oh.
I think
it was a real release. Actually, it was genuinely a release.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel the palpable tension when those flares went off. So,
it changes the atmosphere
as
well.
It really does. God, I wish I'd been there.
Yeah, I know. Nothing makes you sadder when you're in New York than watching a massive game like that. Not that there's been many over the last 3 years,
haven't,
to be
really.
Honest. So.
We tend to get back for those anyway.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, let's not go top level. Let's go bottom level. Let's get into the details, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, we're going to come back in part two and get detail-oriented. Okay, so from the start, very clear that Emery had a plan in place. He used the Europa League as a rest point.
Yep.
He played the same... He started the same 11 against Bournemouth as he did against Spurs.
Yeah.
Only one player from the weekend started in Europa League, and that was Rob. Rob Holding, but as we saw, Aaron Ramsey came on at halftime.
Yeah, bench excluded, you're right. Rob Holding. Rob Holding has spent the last few weeks, we talked about this, we've touched on it, he's our best centre-half by far. And he seems to be a confidence player. The more he plays, the better he seems to feel. And maybe that's the reason he took him to Ukraine, and that's why he kind of played. He didn't put a foot wrong at the weekend. I think any time he did, someone else was covering him.
And really understated performances.
But that's a sign of a good defender, isn't it? When you're not talking about him as much as when you are talking about him.
That's true, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially after, I mean, look, you can't blame anyone for that second goal. And look, he was blamed for the pen, right? I suppose there's that. But you can't blame him for that. I thought he had a fantastic game. Clearly, the trip had very little effect on him. So no. But it was good to see all the other 10 have clearly put a shift in training this week. As we said, one or two were on the plane, but I thought it was a
just listen to these Rob Holding stats. He made the most successful passes in the team by quite a margin. 60 passes.
Wow.
Like 60 successful passes out of 65 attempted. And the second most successful passes came from Hector Bellerin with 48.
Yeah.
So both
our fullbacks were outstanding. And we clearly had a plan. They were playing further up with a three at the back. They were almost midfielders to all intents and purposes.
He made the most interceptions, like joint top with Mustafi, made 3 interceptions. He made 5 successful clearances, 5 out of 5 successful headed clearances, which might account for Harry Kane being so quiet. So, overall, he had a great game on the ground, like very underrated on the ground.
Yeah,
lad from Bolton, Rob Baresi over here.
Do you remember he had that great start and then it just went to shit, and they've introduced him back in safely and he's just picked it back up. And I just hope it stays forever. Now he's young for a centre half, right? Let's not forget centre halves hit their prime 28, 29, 30.
Yeah,
that's why people still pay top dollar for a 30-year-old centre half, but we got to hang on to this one.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gonna,
I've got to find him a new best mate.
We do, yeah. And I wonder whether Mavropanos... Yeah,
I think it will be Mavropanos.
I think it looks like he could be great as well.
Get two of those playing, that'll be...
Two huge guys as well, like big presence.
Yeah, but smart footballers. The other thing is, you talk about your 60 out of 65 passes. By the way, Rob Holding doesn't look mad dribbling the ball out of central defence. He's had a couple of runs.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember one yesterday down the left-hand side where he literally gave the ball, put himself in a position if he was needed again, realised he wasn't sprinted all the way back to where he should be. He looks the part. He's playing the part as well. He's playing the part, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, that he's playing well because you don't notice him. Because I tell you what, we fucking noticed Mustafi.
We did. Look, Mustafi, I think he got away with it because of the other players around him. I mean, He didn't have a great game.
He's got a loose temperament, hasn't he?
We've seen it occasionally, but yesterday, as one of the senior players in the squad, getting yourself booked that early, then looking like you're going to get booked again pretty quickly afterwards, actually. And I think it would have come off earlier than he did, because I think Guendouzi came on for him in the end, didn't he?
Because
he had tweaked something in that landing. But you'd wonder, had we not made the changes at halftime, whether we'd have swapped him out at 55 minutes, because he was an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, I feel like that's been the theme of his play most of the season. But onto the positives. So we went 1-0 up, early doors. Mike Dean called a penalty. I think that's the fourth penalty he's given us in however many games.
But I didn't see it.
No, I did not notice it. And that was eagle-eyed.
That was very eagle-eyed. And it was a legit penalty. There's no two ways about it.
What the fuck was Vertonghen thinking?
Vertonghen's a better player than that. I mean, he's had a shocker.
I just think he got his jump wrong. Badly wrong, didn't he? And in fairness, I think Mustafi was coming in behind that swipe.
Well, I think he had someone coming in just in front of him and someone in behind him. And screw him. It's his fault. His problem, not ours.
So Aubameyang steps up, does one of those awful slow run penalties.
I hate those.
Yeah, it
was well placed in the end.
You go, God. I mean, if the keeper hadn't gone the other way, but then I guess that was his plan. He gave him the eyes. He puts us 1-0 up. And then we have
two great chances after
unbelievable chances, right?
8 times out of 10, you've seen those go in, especially Aubameyang's.
Yes. Are we talking about the one where it kind of got a bit caught behind him?
He's done harder things than that. Look, the keeper still had to save it.
Nice to have a striker, though, where almost like Thierry Henry, when you get so spoiled by their finishing that you see a half chance.
Yeah, you expect them to put it away. Yeah, Iwobi's was a little harder. And
a pretty good save, to be honest.
Yeah, I just think if Iwobi had the confidence to shoot with a ball in the air, not along the ground, which without it, like, skying it.
We were in a bar watching it. We were saying he gets paid a lot of money to be practicing striking technique. Yeah. And I feel like he really struggles to get the ball out of his feet.
Well, going back to our chat last week, you know, we were saying we need another 15 goals from somewhere. People like Iwobi should be putting their hands up.
Yeah.
Saying, I know I'm not a through and through striker, but if I can help you get another 10 to 15 goals this season, I'll probably get in the side a lot more. And there you go. It kind of fills a gap and a need that we've got.
He is very much the Nigerian pleb for me. Like he's pretty good. I mean, he's not as sharp technically, but he's certainly got all of the things that infuriated you about Pleb. He's got nice tight control. Yeah. Like he can pass the ball pretty well.
He is getting better, and he is still very young, so I'll give him some credit there. But still, I can't stop thinking about other players in the past.
Yeah. So, we miss some big chances. You start to worry that Spurs might turn it on. And then Son, pretty much the only player in that first half that caused us any bother. Like, he was brilliant.
He's a smart player.
He's a very smart player. Like, he's industrious. And he could just run for days.
Have they got a similar problem to us where how does it work with Son and Eriksen? How does it work with Mkhitaryan and Ozil?
Potentially, yeah.
Because Eriksen was, again, didn't hear his name.
No, well, apart from the free kick.
Yeah, all right.
But the...
From set plays, fine. But in open play...
So we had a... So Son had a questionable... I thought the free kick was questionable.
Yes.
So they won the free kick, and you knew if they won a questionable free kick, what would happen next.
Oh, God, yeah.
Eric fucking Dyer. He's such a troll, isn't he? He's that guy in Ibiza fucking selling drugs on the beach. Like, just got one of those faces. And then great delivery, dangerous delivery. Gets the slightest of glances on that header. But, like, come on, Leno.
Leno should have done better.
Leno should have. Basics, get your body in front of the ball.
Yeah, look. Every keeper makes a mistake, and he made his annoyingly in that game. It worked out in the end. I don't want to talk about Eric Dyer. It's like the most horrible.
But anyway, we can talk about him because he got his comeuppance, right?
He got his comeuppance.
So he runs into the stands,
yes,
shushing the fans. And then, as the story goes, Lichtsteiner pinched him, which is so childish, but amazing at the same time.
Yeah.
Then all hell breaks loose.
What's he going to go and say in an FA hearing? I was pinched.
Yeah, I know. Embarrassing that's even gay.
Just don't admit it.
So he kicks off, goes at Aaron Ramsey. Guendouzi comes running down the sidelines. Lacazette gets involved in the melee. It's all going off and you're like, it's like, yes! Like, I'm watching that and it's like, ah, finally.
Totally.
We're sticking up for ourselves.
100%. Look, he was stupid to go and do that. That's not to say that we haven't done similar things over the year. I mean, it was a little bit. I mean, he got quite far. I mean, he was outside the pitch. If he'd done it from somewhere on the pitch, well, kind of all right. But that was very provocative. And he got booked for it. His comments were, if you're going to take the passion out of football, what's going to happen? Well, you can just off and stop playing because I don't want to watch you play anyway.
No.
So, screw him. He got booked, rightly so. Shouldn't have done that. And anyone who says Aubameyang did the same thing at the other end, screw it. Three quarters of that. No, more than that. 95% of that stadium was filled with our fans. So wherever he stood, it was in that, at that end, he was going to be near them because that's the only place they are.
So we were worried after that. We were like, who's going to be more riled by that situation, Arsenal or Spurs? 4 minutes later, Son breaks into the box, holding and Bellerin, jockeying him for the ball coming over. Son cuts the ball back and then holding races right through and ever so lightly grazes the top of Son's boot. And Mike Dean, eagle-eyed again, calls it as a penalty. Like, is it? I know we've just spoken about it, but really? Is that?
No, it's not. Look,
it's not the spirit of the game, is it?
No, so Mike Dean was in the right position. And I think it's hard for Mike, because Mike Dean was looking at, when you look at the reverse angle camera, he was looking at it straight on. So he only saw, and it would have been hard for him to see the contact, but he would have seen the tackle. And the way Son went down, I think if it was at the other end, we'd have been upset had he not called it. When you then look at it, this is perfect for VAR. Sun's gone down like a, you know, sack of spuds. and he's going in the wrong direction. I mean, it's not like he's going towards goal. He's coming back across. It's like, I don't think it was a penalty. I think it was absolutely... And the fact that, you know, we didn't get a booking kind of says it all.
Yeah, very true.
But what was interesting was, all right, they score the penalty, and normally, through practice and fear, you kind of get that pit in your stomach as an Arsenal fan. Well, there we go.
That's it. Done. We're
done
it.
Now. We fucked it. Inside half an hour. And actually, I didn't feel like that. I mean, I didn't think what was going to happen then happened at all by any stretch of the imagination. But I thought we reacted well. We took control of the game again.
Straight away. No straight feeling sorry away. For yourself. And you had to say one of the biggest weaknesses of Wenger's side through the years is we would
sulk.
Go...
We'd sulk.
Yeah, we'd sulk and we'd turn yep. into... like we're the victims. Yep. If we're getting kicked about, yep. we would be totally. The victims straight totally. Away.
And we didn't. We took control. We were patient. We had... half chances between then and half time, and I was like, we've got to score before half time, we've got to score before half time. Didn't quite happen, but then, oh my God, the second half.
So the Emery calls two of the bad boys onto the pitch, well, brings on Lacazette.
Mustafi aside, the two weakest players playing in the attacking third, and he's just gone and swapped them straight out. And I loved his press conference afterwards, where he said, I was very calm in the dressing room. They knew what they had to do. I'd got them riled up before the game. So no need to do that again. And he said, Lacazette has an amazing record against any team he plays against. It's not one team or another in particular. And Aaron Ramsey's played in derbies more than anybody else. So I brought them on. Oh my God, they looked up for it, didn't they?
Not that
the others didn't at that point, by the way.
They looked incredibly fired up.
But Ramsey goes and sets two goals up.
Yeah. So the
and Ramsey was everywhere on that pitch.
And the first one came from Bellerin, who had a fucking brilliant game, in my
both
opinion.
Both fullbacks did. And Bellerin probably arguably slightly better than Kolasinac. But
that little pass on the outside and then Ramsey's awareness to spoon the ball into Aubameyang. And then Aubameyang to just strike that first time. That strike was so unexpected. Lloris didn't even move.
When you look at the view from the camera in the goal, so like he looks to go for it and goes, it's not going to go. And he just watches it go in.
Yeah.
And it was it was a phenomenal goal. I mean, it's technically the best goal that we scored in the game. Yeah. Not my favourite. I'm sure we'll get to that.
We're going to get to the favourite. So the Aubameyang's second one was 56 minutes. And then the next one came from Lacazette. Again, Ramsey.
On the break.
Yeah, but he dispossessed. Is it Foyth?
Yeah.
Dispossessed him, who was having a good game.
Well, yeah, kind of on the break. Look, there were only three or four of them forward.
Yeah.
Everyone was still in our half. And that half touch that Ramsey kind of came up with, I don't know. And to turn that into a chance.
I know. And then that Lacazette, when Lacazette cut it back, I thought, game over. And then that little cold shot and it clips off of Dyer, who almost looks like he's turning away from the ball.
No, he is.
So he's wimping out of, doesn't want to get hit full on. And then it clips and just sneaks in the far post. Lacazette's celebration was a fucking joy. How happy was Lacazette?
They were all joyous celebrations, to be fair.
He felt every inch of that.
But to come on as a sub, to not complain, to grab the game by the scruff of the neck, and then just like, screw it, I'm going to score. And he was lucky. Look, he was lucky. There was another couple of chances that might have gone away that he might have taken
Was lucky as well.
Yeah, but you've got to put yourself in the right place and come up with the goods to be, to get lucky involved. Sounds like a stupid thing to say, but...
We're creating our own luck in that situation,
we
right?
We really did. Their defence didn't have a great time today.
No, No, they didn't. They were all over the place. The whole team was all like very disorganized.
Like Kolasinac bullied Aurier all afternoon.
And Aurier is
He's not an easy player to play against. He's a nasty piece of work, as we all know. He looked like he was from a lower division.
Like how's this?
And he plays the kid instead of Alderweireld at centre half.
But how is this for a statistic? Kolasinac created 5 chances.
Well, there we go. How many did Bellerin create?
Bellerin didn't create any clear-cut chances. But I suppose he was assisting the assister.
But we had twice as many chances as they did.
Bellerin created, made 13 passes in the attack in final third. Like Xhaka, our like creative machine, only made 14. So
I think again the Xhaka thing's masked by the fact that everyone else had an outstanding game.
Yeah.
But the I think what was it? We had twice as many shots or chances as they did. We had 7 on target and they had 6 on target, which says a lot.
Yeah.
All right. About the defense.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. So then we go through to the final goal. And this time, Aubameyang turns provider, little pirouette.
A beautiful and then pass.
Defense splitting pass. I think he split the ball between like four Spurs players, finds a perfectly timed Lacazette like run from Torreira. And you're thinking he's gonna square it, and he didn't. He wanted the fucking glory, didn't he?
Aubameyang makes that pass and then puts himself like ready to tap it in. Like actually, when you look at where Torreira should have put that ball, that should have been an Ober hat trick. Job done.
But
what a finish!
Like absolutely ripped it, and then that celebration.
I mean, if he'd skied it, if he
But
out of anyone you wanted to score a goal on that part, I mean, the way he's been playing. Was it somebody asked in the United press conference earlier? Torreira's had 3 out of 4 games he's been man of the match.
He's been the best signing.
I mean, he's the heart of that team now.
He's been the signing that everyone. Probably the signing that we've wanted since Patrick Vieira, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that we ever replaced that fierce competitor.
I think that's fair. I think it's probably... There's a few players that ended up being injured. DRB, I'm thinking of mainly, that could have been something that unfortunately had their career destroyed by someone who's now a call centre operative in the north of England. And look, yeah... Without a doubt. I mean, he looks the part. He's young. 29 million.
A steal. An absolute steal. You get like fucking Mislintat has made his money with Guendouzi and Torreira.
Look, but Guendouzi, I think we've still got a long way to go. I think in that position, especially in the way he plays and where he ends up playing, but.
But Torreira's passing stats for moving the ball forward are getting more and more impressive every game.
Yeah.
But he's starting to have the same sort of influence as Xhaka from the base of that midfield.
So I think now the question has to be, going forward, and this might not be a this season question, but if we're going to put Xhaka on the list, which I think we all think he should be, who do we get to play alongside him?
Yeah, I mean, You need a more mobile.
Yeah.
You need a more mobile version of Xhaka.
Yeah.
Unless Xhaka can maintain the level that he's at for
Xhaka
the rest of
the season. Xhaka doesn't look like he can run through the middle with a ball or anything along those lines.
No.
No. He looks like he's just going to be a link man.
Mind you, that said, you've got a saying. He's had a great game against 2 aggressive pressing setups, right? He did well against Liverpool and he did well against Spurs.
He's not let himself down, but he's not getting 8s and 9s out of 10 in the way that Torreira's getting an 8 and a 9 out of 10. Ramsey's had the games where he's got an 8 and 9 out of 10.
But Torreira's a heavy metal player, isn't he?
Oh, phenomenal. He was in everything.
Yeah.
And on Sunday.
And it's not so much the tackles, it's his ability to intercept. His positioning is phenomenal.
And tackles are part of it. It's just a subset of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But not only that, it's just the fact that he gets the ball back at his feet and then can play it out in all those scenarios. And yeah. That's...
He's a technician.
Yeah.
He's an absolute technician.
I'm really excited about this guy.
Yeah.
And the celebration. Oh.
Yeah. He didn't get booked, did he?
Yeah.
He did get booked.
Fuck, that's like... Rules is rules, I get that. But, yeah. How much did that mean to him? And what a game to do it. I mean, like, you're going to go down in history, no matter what happens to your career at that point. First goal for the club, an amazing game.
Two ways to win Arsenal fans over. Win games, obviously, but do something major in an North London derby, yeah. Right? Because those are the games that come on like throughout the years, like the legendary games.
Totally.
What an advert that game was for the Premier League.
Wasn't it just? I watched a bit of the Scouts derby after that. It was just like, I can't watch this in comparison to what I've seen. It wasn't that good a game.
They're not as fun this year, that's for sure. Liverpool, anyway.
To Everton's credit, they did a good job, actually.
96th minute. Ugh.
I know.
Horrendous.
Jordan Pickford. Anyway.
So the game capped off with Vertonghen getting sent off. I probably wanted to be sent off, didn't he? Probably wished he got sent off earlier.
How he didn't think that was a... sometimes no intent. You shouldn't. It was just like, you know, he was already committed. All right, well, don't commit with your studs up.
Yeah, don't be challenged. Good job the Lacazette wasn't badly injured.
No,
that
is true.
Type
that is
of sloppy true. Late challenge that you expect of Stoke.
How he hung around afterwards. It's like, I don't think he'll be charged, but both clubs are going to be charged, obviously, for the fan stuff and all that crap. But the... I'm still on a high. So we've got to carry this on. Like Wednesday night, we can go up there.
So you're heading out, you're flying out there tomorrow.
Yes, I should be at the game. Carrying, all things being well, I'm carrying the weight of
the weight of the fans on your shoulder here. But the subtext to this is Emery could really cement his legend by ending the new specialist in failure.
Yeah, the new specialist. I like it. I like it.
I love my favourite thing to look at on the internet at the moment is Man United fans complaining that Emery is doing way more with far less than Mourinho. It's beautiful, especially as how smug they all were that they'd hired in this winner. And everybody knew what was going to happen, but I expected more success and then the drop off. But he went straight into season three.
Yeah. Again, I think he's lost it. I think it is that people have just figured him out. And I think what he wants to do, he can't do at that club. And I don't think he's got the setup to do it. And I think the Emery thing, Emery's got an appalling record against Mourinho.
Yeah, I don't think he's beaten Mourinho or Pep, right? Is it?
He's drawn against Pep, but I don't think he's even drawn against Mourinho. That aside... That team is for the taking.
And that team wants Mourinho gone. So you're
They're not playing for him, are they? They're not playing for anyone. They're playing for themselves, if anything.
But, so I wouldn't be surprised to see them mail it in.
And what's really interesting is it's a bit like, you know, we had a fair few fresh faces that didn't really know what a North London derby was about at the weekend. Bloody hell, they knew. I don't know who told them. I don't know how many videos they were made to watch of old games and previous games. But I get the feeling that if he's got that same view about our rivalry with United and got the players up for it, I don't think any of the players at United really know what the rivalry amongst our two clubs was really like. You know, I mean, I remember 1991 season where it was like you stick your 2 points up your ass.
But I guess you could.
But we actually fought 11 against 11 on the pitch.
And but you could frame it through, like everyone knows Man United.
Right? Sure. No, I'm sure our players are being taught about the context of the history between the two clubs. I'm not sure the United players are.
No.
And I just think if we go there, not playing like the away team at Old Trafford, you know. How people typically used to turn up there and give them a run for their money. I think we've got a bloody good chance.
I'm really, really hoping that they roll over. losing to Arsenal could finish Mourinho off.
And take a 1-0. You take anything up there.
And to be fair, 4 points from United and Spurs, I'd take that.
Well, of course we would.
Six
points would show something.
We're challenging for top four.
And look, the table doesn't lie. They are 8 points worse than us.
Yeah. Is their goal difference minus one?
No. It's more than that, I think.
Really? Oh my God.
Well, it might be minus one.
Unbelievable. So many players rampantly out of form. De Gea being one of them.
And injured and all sorts. And like, I still don't think we'll be the end of Mourinho. I don't think they're going to make any decisions.
Yeah, minus one goal difference.
It is mine. I thought it was mine. Anyway. I had a lucky win in the middle of the week, didn't they, in the Champions League?
They did, yeah.
Against, you know, a who kind of team.
But Mourinho's slamming those bottles down. It's like, come on, man. Has it come to this? You used to win Champions Leagues. Now you're celebrating group stage wins.
Totally. Look, we're not going to win the league.
No, but
Crashing back down.
I think you're right. And look, this season could still go to shit. So let's.
But again, the Emery press conference, which I listened to today, I did the post match, sort of all the. I did the print one and the broadcast ones, and then I listened to the 20 minutes he did before, which is part of the United game. There's still a carryover of yesterday's game in it. He said, do you think, given the performance and the form you're under, you're in, and you've got this team kind of playing the way you want to, that you guys, are you doing yourselves a disservice almost by not saying you are title contenders? And he said, look, if you look at the league, you know where we are, we're competing with Chelsea, Tottenham, United, and to some extent Liverpool, but probably not. So we've got to beat these guys first. And I think he's being very level-headed about this. I think it was really interesting looking at all the British papers this morning and everyone's saying, this is Emery, he's got it nailed on, he's got it right. He's going a long way to get it right. We've got to show this form consistently week in, week out. Which we have been doing with 18 unbeaten, I suppose.
Well, we've been...
I think winning against
performances like that.
No, not performances like that and winning against the kind of the top six clubs in the country, which we've distinctly lacked any real kind of fight in some of those games, you know?
You can't keep on losing the first half. If the games were only 45 minutes, we'd be 19th.
19th. After yesterday, we'd have been 19th.
So which tells you one thing about the spirit, but also tells you you can't keep that going.
But
forever.
Again, you look at the game yesterday, and we came out of the blocks quicker than we've ever come out of the blocks.
Yeah,
short of it being 1998, and we'd already practically won the league or whenever it was. No, 2001, and we'd beat teams in the first 20 minutes and then just turn off.
Yesterday felt like the Arsenal Emery wants us to be.
And it showed a technical side to our game, which I think was coming, but we hadn't seen it all kind of plugged together so well.
And it also showed the life without Ozil will be fine, because there was a lot of creative. When you've got your fullback,
when your lead chance creator is
a fullback,
we played three at the back, and we had two fullbacks effectively playing in defense, in midfield rather. Mm-hmm. They weren't hugely far back, unless they really had to. And then there was sprinting. It was like an amazing covering tackle by Kolasinac at one point as well. But I thought, I think
10 games back. The critique was, we're creating hardly any chances, but what the chances that we are creating, we're finishing them all. Like, we had the best percentage converting chances. Now we're getting to yesterday we were creating a flow of chances all game, and the chances were coming from everywhere. So you're seeing he's we're not having to rely on that one number 10.
No, totally true. I think that's a fair point. I think. I buy the fact that Ozil was genuinely injured. I've had back problems a lot of my adult life, and if you're having spasms, you're having spasms. We can talk about why he's having spasms, of course. But I think Ozil would have played instead of Mkhitaryan in the starting 11 if he was fit. And I think it would have been a slightly... I think we may have actually been a bit better. He may have taken Iwobi or someone else off at half-time. Who knows? But these were all what-ifs, you know. I think we need a couple... couple more players. And we could be really good.
It's going to be in great shape, yeah.
Striker and another central midfielder.
Yeah, like we're in good shape. Like, but let's see how the fitness holds out through December. See if they can preserve hamstrings.
It's a long month
because a couple of we've got a few older players in the squad, a few players that have been playing a lot of games recently. But like that's when rotation. That's when Burgess and his sports science strategies come into play. So let's talk some seriousness about Mesut Ozil. So someone came on the site this morning with a theory, and it goes, for anyone who knows anything about Fortnite, so basically the theory is Mesut Ozil is injured because he's sitting on his ass for too many hours during the day. Now this has some substance to it. So Mesut Ozil has won 600 times on Fortnite. He's got a 12% winning rate. So that means he spent a lot of hours sitting on his ass. So a guy called Tom Todd Hunter on Twitter worked this out. So the official stats are Mesut has played 4,938 matches on Fortnite. And if you average out each game lasts 20 minutes, that's 100,000 minutes or 1,700 hours of playtime. So if you extrapolate that over a year... That's 5 hours of playtime every day. I'm pretty sure that his sponsorship with Twitch has only been about since September. So.
Yeah, he's very into the e-games. He's not only got Twitch, he's the FIFA ambassador. He's doing all, like, as in the game.
So this is 100,000 minutes.
So talking about back injuries I've had, and I don't know what causes his back spasm, so it's hard to say. But I'm sure being sedentary, playing computer games is not helping.
No. No, I
don't. I mean, I don't know what his setup is and whether he's got a special mouse and a mitt and all this kind of stuff. I am not a Fortnite player, as you can tell. I have been to a few Fortnite events, though, long story. This can't be good. I mean, now you tell me that, I'm starting to worry a bit more about him.
That's...
And the Ozil-tology.
I'm
starting to question.
That's... quite a substantial amount of hours. There was also,
unless he's actually got someone playing for him.
I think that he's probably just super talented. Like, spatial awareness is his thing. So I'd imagine computer games he's probably got.
And you're kind of on Twitch. You're kind of on camera all the time.
Yeah, I think it's hard to fake it. And then James Ollie.
I'm gonna look at Twitch.
So there's a James Ollie exchange between Emery and Mesut, and the question was, could he have played? Emery said he has backache. And then the question is, when did he get that? Emery says, I don't know. Was he here today? I don't know. So Emery, a little bit...
No, well, okay. So he addressed that in the United press conference, which was he had a back injury last week. He didn't recover from it. And then he trained on his own today.
So
because he would have given the first team the day off today after playing yesterday ahead of Wednesday. It wouldn't have been a heavy session today, would it?
No, but so the rumour doing the rounds before the game was that he heard he wasn't starting and faked off. That was the rumour before the game. And he also has a little bit of a history of this. Remember Wenger's last home game of the season where he had back spasms again and didn't play? He didn't get any back spasms through the World Cup, but they seem to be back. He's a sick note. He's a problem. He's a £350,000 a week player. Who can't find a place or a function in the team. I think the gut feel is that if Arsenal want to get rid of him, he's probably not going to do a Winston Bogard and sit on that contract. There's rumours that China were offering him a million a week. There's rumours that Inter Milan might come call him for his name. And I would imagine...
I don't get the Inter Milan thing.
Well, they've got rich, wealthy benefactors. So, potentially. Or Arsenal could... I'm pretty sure... The Arsenal cut the Danielson contract early. So you say to the player, we'll pay up half of your contract if you leave now. You get to go and get a signing on fee.
yeah,
at Besiktas still or somewhere
a lot of
like
money
that.
Half his contract.
It's still an absolute fortune.
I'm slightly distracted because I'm watching him play Fortnite right now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I like in the past. He's not playing live now, but yeah, his posture posture's not good.
Oh, Meza. That doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look healthy.
Doesn't look good for the back spasms, does it?
I think there's going to be need to be an Arsenal fan intervention via Twitch.
I might make contact with a few people I know.
Yeah.
Find out whether that's any good.
Get Ozil's back hashtag something. Okay, cool. Well, I think we've covered a lot. Is there anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, definitely.
United hopes and dreams?
Well, I'm either going to come back in tears or not. But those of you who haven't seen Mr. Sol Campbell's Instagram post after the game, I think it's the best thing I've seen on Instagram in a long time.
Describe. Oh, Sol Campbell pulling an Eric Dier.
Pulling an Eric Dier, but it was also in the tunnel at Highbury when we'd won the league already from when he was there. And then although he wasn't in charge of the team on Saturday, Macclesfield Town won a game.
Fantastic.
1-0 at Exeter. Tough game, Exeter away in that division. So all things going well. Big game Friday. Thierry against Patrick.
Ooh.
French League Friday night.
Battle of the Invincibles.
There we go.
That's going to be fantastic.
United away.
Come on! Yeah, I'm super excited about that. Like, if we win that game, top four could be in sight.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, great. All right, well, thank you for joining, Ash.
Cheers, mate.
Have a safe flight, and we'll catch up with you next week, and we'll talk about, hopefully, victory against United and the ending of Mourinho's elite career. Couldn't think of anything better. Thanks a lot.
I hope so.
Get right to the romance and find the way to wow this Valentine's with 1-800-Flowers.com. From classic roses and bouquets to decadent chocolate-covered berries, gourmet treats, and more, surprise your Valentine with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, get the 18-stem Enchanted Rose Medley for $39.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/tune in.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Headlines seize our attention, especially when they're about a crime.
But there's more to these stories than just their headlines.
I'm Carrie Ipama.
And I'm Quinlan Posner.
Every week we'll bring you a real crime that made the headlines. One you may have heard of before, or one you may have never imagined possible.
But we'll take you beyond what you see on the front page. We'll follow the story as it happens in real time and use hindsight to pull apart fact from fiction.
From Lifetime comes a brand new weekly podcast, Crime of a Lifetime.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.